Hi, this is Dr. Michael Chaykin at the Center for Optimal Health in Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania. Welcome to our podcast series. This is podcast number 3, Stress and Its Management. Here is a required notice.
The material in this publication is for informational use only. It should not be used as a substitute for advice from a healthcare professional. Please consult with a healthcare professional regarding the application of this material to your own personal needs and situation. This publication is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
What is stress? How does it affect the mind, body, and spirit? And what can we do to protect ourselves? Stress is a challenge to a system. A good example is when a truck goes over a bridge. A bridge is designed to handle a certain amount of weight. If the weight of the truck exceeds the capacity of the bridge, it breaks. A stressor is something that stresses a system. So in the example of the bridge, the stressor is the weight of the truck. Living systems are more complicated because they are designed to repair and respond to changes in their environment. In fact, most biological systems require a certain amount of stress in order to have optimal function. A healthy amount of stress is called eustress, while too much stress is called distress. We need the stress of gravity and movement to maintain our bones, muscles, and our cardiovascular system. We need the stress of education to grow our brains and learn skills that allow us to survive, grow, and thrive. In some ways, we can think of ourselves as stress-managing machines whose purpose is to survive long enough to procreate. The adrenal glands, a part of our hormonal system, sit on top of the kidneys and produce several important hormones, including cortisol and adrenaline, that help us manage resources during times of stress. Like borrowing cash from our credit card account, we can get resources from our body using our adrenal hormones, but we do pay a high rate of interest if that loan is not quickly repaid. With chronic stress, we never have a chance to repay the loans taken from our various bodily systems. That is why chronic stress accelerates the aging process, as can be seen in sleep, skin, hair, nails, immune system, mood, concentration and memory, fertility, and virtually every system of the body. There are two main sources of stress, external and internal. External stressors are the things in our environment that need to be addressed in order to survive and thrive optimally. The four main categories of external stress are money, relationships, job, and the health of our loved ones. Internal stressors come from the inside. These include our thoughts and emotions, our individual biochemistries, and the organisms that live in us and on us called the biome that provide certain nutrients but at the same time take others. Oftentimes when we talk about stress, we talk about its effect on our minds, which then affects our bodies. We have evidence that purely mental stress actually does harm us. Heart attacks usually occur on Mondays. Monday is only a thought. If somebody thinks it's Monday versus Sunday or Tuesday, they have a greater chance of a heart attack. The way this works is that every time we have a stressful or negative thought, several adrenal hormones are released in anticipation of some challenge that will need to be addressed. Political, health, and economic challenges, which now seem to be happening continually, can overload our minds, bodies, and systems. How much choice do we really have with external stressors when they are coming from the outside? There was a comic that suggested an answer to how we might manage external stress. A father and son are sitting on the stoop outside in their backyard. A huge train is passing on the tracks that go behind the house. The son has a big smile on his face because he is thinking about how he gets to hear, feel, and see a big, beautiful train go by his house several times a day. The father has a frown on his face because he's thinking about his property value and the disruption of his life by the frequent noise and vibration of the stinking train. Both father and son have the same external circumstance. However, what they're doing on the inside is quite different. What do you think their stress levels are? People vary tremendously in the way they respond to stressors. For example, what seems a minor event, just a mean glance from a teacher in childhood, can be highly stressful, while others seem to thrive despite truly horrific circumstance. How we respond is determined by several factors, which include our individual, biochemistry, past experience, culture, expectations, and the sum of all the positive and negative forces in our current life. Managing stress is a skill, actually a set of tools, that can decrease both the negative experience and its effects on our minds, bodies, and spirits. Like any tool, we get better at using it with practice. Here's a list of tools that you can utilize. They will be further developed on the website and in future podcasts. 1. Replace negative thoughts with their opposite. Identify the benefits of your circumstance, some of which might require some flexible thinking. Research has shown time and again that the feeling of gratitude decreases stress hormones and produces healing molecules. 2. Maintain a productive schedule of active, engaging activities. Purposeful, engaged activity is stress-reducing, while mindless, passive activities really don't do much for us. 3. Maintain a healthy sleep-wake cycle. Don't let distractions in your daily cycle affect when you go to sleep and when you wake up. Use a blue light filter when using electronics later into the evening, and utilize bedtime rituals such as journaling, listening to music, gentle exercise, and taking appropriate nutritional aids to help sleep onset and maintenance. 4. Maintain and enhance the healthy parts of your lifestyle, including regular exercise and good quality food and water. When our emotional systems are activated, it's like our intelligence is short-circuited and our control decreases. We find ourselves eating, drinking, shopping, and doing other comforting and addictive things. The best way to avoid the loss of control is to be preemptive. Plan for good quality food, snacks, and exercise prior to stressful activities. For example, pay the bills or watch the news an hour after eating a quality meal, not when you're hungry, tired, or anxious. 5. Regarding nutrition, eat regular meals on a regular schedule. Avoid snacking. Drink water regularly during the day between meals. Take appropriate supplements twice a day. 6. Stay connected with others. This means two-way communication by phone, video chat, or other safe means. 7. Change environments and activities regularly, even if you have to create a schedule as mentioned above. Limit screen time to fixed periods, with non-screen activities in between. 8. Volunteer to help others in some way. Not only will this provide purpose and structure, it will take you out of your self-involvement and improve your gratitude. 9. Make sure your schedule includes positive things such as humor, play, recreation, meditation, biofeedback, and spiritual pursuits. This is especially important for the hour or two before bedtime. And 10. If your stress levels seem out of control, seek help from family, friends, community, church, or health professionals when needed. Again, there will be more on the website and in future broadcasts. This is Dr. Michael Chaykin at the Center for Optimal Health. Thank you for listening.